How did an agent that started his career in 2021, the middle of the pandemic, do 32 sales in his first year? Well, we're going to find out today. Stay tuned. This episode of Keeping It Real is brought to you by Real Geeks. How many homes are you going to sell this year? Do you have the right tools? Is your website turning soft leads into interested buyers? Are you spending money on leads that aren't converting? Well, Real Geeks is your solution. Find out why agents across the country choose Real Geeks as their technology partner. Real Geeks was created by an agent for agents. They pride themselves on delivering a sales and marketing solution so that you can easily generate more business. Their agent websites are fast and built for lead conversion with a smooth search experience for your visitors. Real Geeks also includes an easy-to-use agent CRM. So once a lead signs up on your website, you can track their interest and have great follow-up conversations. Real Geeks is loaded with a ton of marketing tools to nurture your leads and increase brand awareness. Visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod and find out why realtors come to Real Geeks to generate more business. Again, visit realgeeks.com/keepingitrealpod. And now, onto our show. Hello and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the largest podcast made by real estate agents and for real estate agents. My name is DJ Paris. I'm your guide and host through the show. And in just a moment, we're going to be speaking with up-and-coming top producer Mark Plesha. Before we get to Mark, just a few reminders. Please, as always, tell a friend about our show. We appreciate it. Keep spreading the word. And also, check out our sponsors. Please support them. Let them tell you all about their products and services and consider investing in those products and services. I promise we only select vendors and advertisers that will actually help you grow your business. But enough from me. Let's get to the main event, my conversation with Mark Plesha. Today on the show, my guest is Mark Plesha with BrokerWorks in Highland, Indiana. That's Northwest Indiana, by the way. Let me tell you more about Mark. Now, after listening to countless episodes of Bigger Pockets podcast, which, by the way, I've had the Bigger Pockets guys on our show as well. Bigger Pockets, for those of you that aren't familiar, is the nation's largest online forum for real estate investors. So check out biggerpockets.com. But Mark has listened to countless episodes of Bigger Pockets, and after purchasing two rental properties, Mark decided to transition from his W-2 job selling into selling real estate in the beginning of 2020, right in the middle of the start of the pandemic. He got licensed in July of that year, and in his first full year during the pandemic, Mark closed, dramatic pause for effect, 32 transactions for a little over $6 million in sales. 32 transactions in his first year while only working, and this is the even crazier part, only working 30 hours a week. His early successes were largely due to a focused direct outbound prospecting campaign and also being very diligent in protecting his time for income practicing or producing activities. And in 2022, Mark closed over $8 million and was the top agent in his office. Mark was raised and currently resides in Highland, Indiana, with his beautiful wife, Liz, and their four children. I want everybody to visit Mark's website for BrokerWorks, which is movetohighland.com. And I want you to look at how Mark and his team are really targeting people who, you know, are looking to move to Highland, and they have a whole brand built around that. And we're going to talk about that today. Mark, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you for the intro, DJ. And like you said, listen, a lot of podcasts, yours was definitely one of them. And I think that's definitely played in the success. So thank you for everything that you do for the community. And I'm just, hopefully I can give back some tidbits and hopefully help some agents out. And congratulations to you. You have the best podcast voice of all time, so good for you, sir.
Well, that's debatable, but I'll take the compliment. Thank you.
There you go.
And I don't know that I'm the best host. Maybe I have the best voice, but I don't know if I have the best host. But I will do my best. We will do our best for our audience today. Thanks for being here. Mark has such a cool story because he's really doing things that I think a lot of agents aren't doing. And so we're certainly going to get to that. But Mark, let's talk about why the shift into real estate. So you've been licensed since 2020. What got you there?
Yeah. And, you know, off the top of the mind, you start thinking, you know, I have an interesting story. But then you start listening to hundreds and hundreds of podcasts with agents interviewed, and everyone's got an interesting story, right? No one, except for there's the occasional guest, one out of every 100, like, oh yeah, my grandpa started REMAX, so I was born into it. Like, that happens, but that's
there's
not
a few normal. Of those, yeah.
There's a few of those. I've heard a few interesting stories, right? But like, we're all an interesting breed, I feel like. Like, we got into this, this is usually second, third career, and so it's always interesting to listen to other people's stories. Mine's not anything crazy. You know, I was a union laborer prior to getting into real estate. I worked for a family business that my wife's father owned. Just super blessed to be able to be into that position and get hired there. And they gave me an opportunity that I probably didn't deserve. So, you know, I'm incredibly grateful for that opportunity. But quickly on, I kind of realized, you know, this wasn't for me. This isn't where I saw myself ending up and being happy for the next 20, 30 years until retirement. So I had a lot of conversations with my wife, which you can imagine the little difficult conversations. There's just some things that we knew we'd have to navigate that might not be easy. But we ultimately came to the conclusion after, like I said, I had downtime at that job within certain aspects of it, and I delved deep into podcasts. So first one's Bigger Pockets, and then got into real estate investing a little bit. And, you know, I was just driving down the road one day and thinking to myself, you know, I kind of started to get that bug of being an entrepreneur. They pushed the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, really hard in that podcast. So I read that book, and, you know, it was just silly because for months I'm like, what could I do? Like, what business could I start? And going through all these conversations in my head, and finally just driving down the road one day, I'm like, you idiot, like, go into real estate full time, like, get licensed and be a real estate agent. It's everything, all that information and knowledge I already acquired through all those podcasts, all of that translates. So I say right around December 2019, I finally made the decision, like, okay, we're all on board with this. You know, we were always pretty good savers. We try to live off like 50% of our income. I think that's super important to... For me, there was no going back. If I made the jump, I was going full in, and I was making that jump, and I wasn't going back. Would they have me back? I'm sure. But in my mind, I'm like, I can't. Just there's a pride thing there, right? Like, I can't go back. So knowing that, and knowing, just making that leap and that jump, you know, you just get to sink or swim. You got to make it work.
So you went from really working with your hands and being your wife's family's business and switching over into, you know, you started studying about real estate investing via Bigger Pockets and other podcasts. And a lot of investors will get their real estate license even just to do their own transactions for their own investments because, of course, you save on the commission, pretty significantly. So even if you just did your own investments, it would still make sense to get your license. But like, oh, by the way, now I can also help other people do all sorts of transactions as well. And you really did hit the ground running. I don't know that I've ever met anyone who did 32 transactions in their first year. That is incredible. And I'm sure our audience is dying to know, how did you do that?
Yeah. And going back a little bit into the old career, right? Like, one of the big impetuses for me was I had two kids at the time. I was working 50, 60 hours a week, sometimes 70, 80. I never knew my schedule. So that time with my family was important. And so going into it, I think that was a hindrance for me of making that switch was, okay, how do I, if I do want to reduce my work hours, like, I got to go into this intentionally, because the big thing holding me back was, you know, you think about real estate agents and their schedule. They're probably working nights and weekends. So working through that thought process and kind of working backwards of, okay, what do I want my career to look like? I want to have my time available to me. So just listening to a podcast, I'm going to always reference back to that because there's just so many countless podcasts that got me to where I am, and kind of reverse engineering the business of, okay, if I don't want to be doing showings on nights and weekends, how do I control my schedule as much as possible? Listings, right? So then working through that, what are my lead sources that I can, as a new agent, I can jump right into? Calling for sale by owners, calling canceled, calling expireds, Later on, I got into probate leads. And then the other facet of the business that you can kind of dictate your own schedule, which I already had somewhat of an intimate knowledge in, was working with investors. So actually early on, I got connected with an investor who was out of state. I would go look at the properties for him on my own time. So again, I'm in control of my schedule. And that's kind of where you mentioned in my intro, working that, you know, 30-hour a week schedule, that's what allowed me to do that. I was probably 60-40 listings in that first year. And I would say 3/4 of the buyers that I had were working with investors. So, you know, I was home a lot with my kids, which, it was a blessing. I mean, that's all I can say. It worked out.
Well, it's a really important point because you have 4 kids, you're a busy dad, and you have this business that you're now, you know, really the chief operator, you know, the CEO, the COO, the CMO, you are the president, you are in charge of every part of the business. And you figured out by reverse engineering, hey, here, I need my nights and weekends because I have 4 kids and I want to be present for some of their stuff and their events. And I just want to be around. So I better figure out a way to close business outside of that. And I love the fact that you reverse engineered that. That is such a really smart, I was having this conversation this morning with another agent who was telling me that every year he does sort of reverse engineers what he wants to earn that year. And he does a pretty similar exercise to you. He goes, I want to make X amount. And then he breaks it down by month and then by week. And then he figures out all those activities that will ultimately get him here. It sounds so simple, but it really is a nice sort of roadmap to get to where you want. And you really hacked your way through it in a really smart way because you did want to protect some of those time boundaries. And when you work with investors, they don't care. They just want to see the deal, right? So you're going out, you're finding opportunities. They don't need to physically see the property. You're going to do that for them. You're going to be their eyes and ears, and you're going to be the deal finder. And I'm curious for, there's a lot of our listeners who have never worked with investors. What are some of the pros and the cons of working with investor buyers?
Yeah. So again, just to reiterate, I mean, that schedule component is important. It was for me. But I think for me, if you find the right investor and they have that capital that they can invest, I think 1 year I closed 7 deals with the same investor. So, I mean, you have that constant deal flow where as long as I was doing my due diligence and finding properties that cash flowed, and I knew what that looked like just because I've invested and I know what, especially single family homes, like that was kind of my realm and what I knew best. So for me, just all I got to do is log in the MLS every day, figure out a property, run the numbers, send it to him, get his thoughts, go schedule the showing, write up an offer, and then we're off to negotiation. So, I mean, just having that built-in deal flow, if you find the right investor, and it was funny, and we could kind of go into this too, like one great lead source that no one talks about is for rent by owners. And that's how I got connected with that gentleman. And, yeah, it was actually interesting. There was in my first year, I made a phone call to a for rent by owner. You know, it was just a simple script. Hey, you know, I see your property is listed for rent, but with the market being the way that it is, have you ever considered selling a property? That led to a deal there. And then
wow,
sold another one with me the following year. He was just kind of liquidating his portfolio slowly, trying to avoid that huge hit of capital gains tax at once. But it was just the end result of the story was super interesting. About right around Christmas time, he called me and he's like, Mark, I just got a quick question for you. I'm updating my trust. You know, I just want to confirm with you, are you okay if I add your name and contact information for my family just in case something happens to me?
Wow.
So, I mean, building that relationship, even with just making that phone call, obviously SOI is number one in everyone's business. It should be. But if you can convert some of these lead sources like a for rent by owner, for sale by owner, and then add them to your SOI and stay in touch and get referrals. And then like that kind of blew my mind that he was that comfortable with me and trusted me that much that he was going to put me in his trust. I mean, that was one of the greatest compliments that I think I'll ever get in this business. So
yeah, to my estimation, it doesn't get much, the compliment doesn't get much higher than that. So yeah. Congratulations there. And you're absolutely right. I think that you know, this idea of working with investors also too eliminates a lot of the emotional challenges that, you know, traditional buyers and sellers face, because of course their primary residence, it's an emotional decision. It's a big financial decision. It's where they're going to live, where they're going to raise a family possibly. And of course, there's just a lot of emotion we know that that is associated with that and a lot of stress. So when you're working with investors, that tends to be less of that, right? It's more about making the numbers make sense and just showing them a good deal. I am curious. So one of the myths that we like to dispel on the show, and I don't get to talk to too many agents that work with investors, so I'm fortunate to have you on the show, is I want to dispel the myth that the investors are hard to find. So I know a lot of our listeners have written in going, hey, this, I'd love to work with investors, but how do I find investors? And my answer is, it's actually easy to find the investors. What's hard is to find the deals. Curious to get your thoughts on, does the money show up when you find a deal?
Yeah, you're 100% right. Yeah, the investor is easy to find. The money, if you find the deal, is easy to find. It's the deal that's impossible. Not impossible. I shouldn't say possible. Sorry. Forgive me for that one. Difficult. Yeah, I mean, you could simply go into BiggerPockets and post a few times on a thread in your neighborhood and your community and your area. I did that and I got, you know, people raising their hand, looking to work for me or work with me. Calling for rent by owners was, I mean, that's how I got connected with the gentleman that was buying all those properties. He just had a property listed for rent. Kind of walked through the same thing. It was, you know, mid 2020. I'm like, you know, a lot of people are looking to liquidate their assets and sell everything off at a premium. And I see that you're buying. I kept noticing his name everywhere. And I said, you know, I noticed you're buying a bunch of properties. Like, what's the mindset? It's just
having the conversation.
Just having a conversation. And just two things. Like you said, congrats about, like doing the things that I'm doing. R&D, rip off and duplicate. That's all I'm doing. Like none of these, I'm not an intelligent guy. I hear these ideas. I take them. I run with them. I implement them. Like that coupled with go talk to people, have conversations with people, you're going to be successful. You just got to put in the work. And it's so simple. It's not easy, but it's so simple. You just got to be willing to put the work in.
Yeah, simple but hard, right? So I couldn't agree with you more. And I want to go back to the for rent by owner situation because this is such a missed opportunity for most agents, right? So what is Mark really doing? So let's just give an example. So Mark's just walking through a neighborhood. He sees a for rent sign in the window of somebody's house and it's got for rent, call this number. You know, Mark might call that number and say, hey, are you the owner or are you the tenant or the management company or whatever? Mark eventually gets his way to the owner and says, hey, by the way, you know, I may have a renter for you at some point, but also have you thought about selling, right? This is a great way to have a conversation with somebody that might not know that they're ready to sell or may just be good timing or a great way to start the relationship so that when they are ready, obviously, you know, you would be the person that they select. And Mark, I will tell you, I've been in this industry 14 years and I've heard about, you know, calling for rent by owners for since I started. And I would say maybe 1% of agents do that. And I think it is one of the biggest missed opportunities because you're right. Eventually you hit a vein of investors and they're like, oh, this is what we do all the time. And, you know, and maybe they're not happy with whoever they're using. And you can obviously, you know, work your way in. And obviously you did. So I love that. And so how was investor, she said 60, what percentage of your deals in the first year approximately were investor deals?
Yeah, I would say, like I said, I was probably 60-40 my first year listing side versus buyer side. And then another probably 3/4 of those deals were working with investors. I don't do it. I'll be honest. I don't work with them as much anymore. It's just I've kind of transitioned to focusing more on the listing side. So I've kind of incorporated probate leads into everything.
Let's talk about probate leads. Explain to our audience what those are and how you sort of got access to those.
Yeah. So, I mean, just going back to the rip off and duplicate thing, right? So I was on another podcast and I got connected with a gentleman, Chad Corbett, who runs, it's a course on probate and kind of walking you through that process, what it looks like, how to find business. So basically, I created a website called NorthwestIndianaStateSolutions.com. The idea being reaching out directly to, we can have access to, through the court system, people that file probate in our county. So just giving them a call, you know, walking through, hey, you know, this is Mark. I'm a member of a local community group here in Northwest Indiana. We actually help families going through the probate process. So every month we send a member of our team down to the county courthouse. They meet with the clerk and they actually provide us with a list of families they think we might be able to help. So that's why I'm reaching out to you. You know, is there anything we can do to help you through? I know this is a particularly, or is there anything in particular that you think we might be able to help with? I know this is a difficult and stressful time, and our goal is to just try to alleviate as much of that as possible. So just having that, yeah.
So probate is when wills and trusts maybe haven't been correctly established prior to death. Is that my understanding?
Yes. Sorry, I'm jumping into the framework.
No. I just assume everyone's as dumb as me, and that's all I know about probate. So everyone else is probably like, yeah, we know what probate is. But probate is when somebody passes away and there isn't sort of a obvious sort of and specific legal way to distribute assets, and they have to now go through the court system. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, yes. So like I said, running through that script, calling through the list of probates, and then trying to create relationship with local attorneys, just having that conversation of, you know, these are the benefits that we're offering to people. And we know they're in a difficult place in their lives right now. A lot of the personal representatives who are appointed either by the court or just the family has dictated that they take over and kind of run the probate process on their behalf. You know, the attorney has their, just like we have to work within the framework of what we do as real estate agents, they have to work within the framework of what they do as attorneys. So, like a part of that business or the phone calls that I'm having with attorneys is just, hey, you know, what can I do to take something off of your plate to make your life easier? I know you don't want to deal with the real estate stuff. I have a list of contractor referrals. So if that comes up where someone within that estate, usually the biggest asset is real estate. So if someone within that estate needs to sell a piece of property and it might need work, hey, we have a list of contractors that we can team up with you. If you need anything at all, just call us and let us know. So just having those conversations with the PR and with the attorneys and just approaching it with empathy, right? Like they're going through a difficult situation. They more than likely they've never gone through it before. So I think if you just have that conversation in a gentle way, like we're here for you. Like if you need anything at all, just reach out. And then just this past week, I had an attorney reach out and probably have a referral for a listing in a market nearby. So I love that. I think just my personality, and I want to help people, and that's what we all should be striving to do. So it lends itself to being in that position. So I get a lot of satisfaction out of helping the people that need it the most. So.
Well, we've done almost 600 episodes of this show, and nobody has ever mentioned probate leads. And what I realized with what you just were telling our audience is that calling probate attorneys might be a really good idea to develop relationships with, because they, of course, have to deal with assets. And, of course, home usually being, if not the biggest, one of the biggest assets. And a lot of times, of course, offspring aren't living where mom and dad live. So it's this idea of we got to get rid of this property, or we have to sell it, or we want to sell it. But we need, you know, mom and dad lived in it for 40 years. So we have some work we need to do to it. And Mark's like, hey, I'm your solution. I can do all of that. And I think that is a brilliant strategy, because, you know, we've had lots of people talk about divorce attorneys, estate planning attorneys, people that do have their wills and trusts in place before they pass away. Of course, those are great. Financial planners, accountants, people that, you know, are necessary. But no one has talked about probate attorneys. So love that idea. So R&D, rip and duplicate from Mark. Mark, let's shift gears. I want to talk about movetohighland.com, because I think this is an amazing idea. So tell our audience what this is and why you built it.
Yeah. So the owner of our brokerage, who, like I said, we're in Valparaiso, Indiana. He started the idea, and from my understanding, at least as far as I know. So move to Valpo is a website. Again, rip off and duplicate. We took that and we just used that for Highland. So through Agent Fire is a platform that I think it's push behind Tom Ferry's program.
Yep.
We created this website. It's called movetohighland.com. Basically, like, we view it as a community group, trying to be a resource for people in the community to go to our website, understand things that are going on in the community, but also draw people to the community that are thinking about making the move. So trying to get that SEO pushed up to the top, so when people are just simply searching on Google moving to Highland, Indiana, we're trying to be at that top spot. But just giving them a resource for, you know, the specific neighborhoods in our market, things going on in the community. We have an IDX set up so that they can do their home search through Move to Highland. And we, as well, Jake and I, the other agent involved, who actually told me about your podcast. So shout out to Jake. I'm sure he's listening right now. But we created a community group within Facebook, kind of doing the same thing. But we've seen success in just simple things like, I actually bought a rental property in April of 23, and we closed on the property, and the gentleman that was selling it, I was having a conversation with him in the kitchen of the property, and he started talking about his son, and he was just beaming, right? His son's a stud football player at Highland, linebacker, getting recruited by colleges like Stanford. So we just kind of took that and ran with it. I wrote a blog about it on our website. I published it on Facebook, and I mean, we just had people reaching out left and right. So I think just if you're looking for content creation, and especially if you're doing what we're doing, like pushing narratives of people in the town, just to help, again, like reinforce that community that I think every town in America probably lacks, especially with, you know, just where we are in the current times that we live in. Yeah, everyone, I always kind of look back at the 50s, like that was the golden era, right? Like, that just seemed like everyone loved each other. I mean, I wasn't even born yet, so it's like a pretty skewed vision of reality. But yeah, I mean, I think we could all take a look back at that and like go back to a time where we were heavily involved with the community. I think people would be a lot happier. So
I agree.
I think that's part of it, is just trying to push and promote that agenda.
And we should also mention too, so Highland is in Northwest Indiana, so its closest big city is really Chicago. And Mark this was not unintentional. So Mark started I live in the city of Chicago, and I would love to say that we're doing everything right here and people are flooding, moving to Chicago. But sadly, that is not happening as much. People are actually leaving Illinois due to, you know, a whole bunch of factors, which get very political and everyone has an opinion about. But the reality of it is people are moving, and they're moving to places like Northwest Indiana. It is not uncommon. Mark is not blind to that. He's not oblivious to that. And it's an amazing opportunity. Mark, mention too, finding that market was not accidental for you. You know, tell us about why you decided to really, in this case, you know, you did it with Valparaiso and now you're doing it with Highland, but Highland has, this isn't just a random suburb that or a random city that you chose, right?
No, you're 100% correct. So, I mean, and you're right, 2021 or 2020, 2021, I think Illinois was the number one state people were leaving during those 2 years. And Indiana was the number one state they were going to. So we're just over the border. We're considered a metro market a sub-market of Metro Chicago.
Yep.
We're about 45-minute drive away. And that's insulated us from a lot of these big swings, just because, especially Highland in particular, we're the second town over the border. So the people that want to avoid living in Illinois again, we won't get into the reasons. We don't need to jump into that. But we're a perfect spot to be in. So being close proximity to 8094, which is the interstate right there that gets you to Chicago as quick as possible. And then that was in 2022, I believe, realtor.com did a survey, and they were tracking all these metrics of the most affordable markets in the United States. And they ran metrics like, you know, how quickly homes were under contract when listed, what that price, list to sale ratio was for each market. And out of the top 100 markets, we were number 6 in the country. Everyone's kind of struggling with inventory in their market, and that's been this huge driver in prices and availability and kind of the market we're seeing now. But we feel that probably more than most. So I think there's 14 active listings in Highland right now, which is just incredibly low. So, I mean, as soon as homes are listed, they're selling. So we have that built-in desirability of being in that close proximity to a major metro city like Chicago. It helps that Jake and I both live in Highland. We grew up here. We know the market well. But yeah, I don't think we'd be pushing as hard on all of this and going the route that we're going had those things not been in place. So yeah, that definitely played an important factor.
It's a really good point to everyone listening to know where the closest areas outside of your local market that people sort of move to. Obviously, you know, people make big moves down. In our case, it would be like down to Florida or Texas or Arizona from Illinois, you know, retirement. A lot of times people do that. But we're seeing this migration from Chicago to Northwest Indiana for taxes and you know, political, you know, reasons and just, you know, things they don't like about Illinois. But every community has some version of that, right? And there's like this other place where people can go to. And so it's really smart because Mark can then develop relationships. So even if people in Northwest Indiana, eventually they're going to possibly leave and go elsewhere, you know, maybe going down south. And so Mark's going to build this, he's built a network of agents that he can refer to as his clientele age and decide, you know, to move. And, you know, so you're building relationships all over the place with, you know, with attorneys, you're building relationships with other agents, and you're also looking to see where people are moving towards. And it just happens to be where you grew up, which of course is a huge benefit. I wanted to ask about for sale by owners because, and expireds and canceled, right? So these are the leads that are very easy to purchase, right? There's lots of companies that will sell you this information for very little money, really. It's a very inexpensive lead source, but it's inexpensive for a reason because it's actually quite difficult. And so as a result, a lot of people don't have success with those calls. They don't like making them or they're tough, but you have had a lot of success with those. So can you tell us a little bit about, you know, let's say you called an expired. So just to set the scene, this is somebody who worked with an agent. It didn't go well. It didn't close or it didn't get sold. And now the listing is expired. You know, how do those calls go for you?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. And, just going back to your point super quick, super cheap lead sources, right? Again, a big part of my business is like, I could go, you know, that Zillow, no knock on it on anyone that's pursuing that. But again, that didn't fit my framework of, I don't want to work with buyers. Profitability for me is number one. Like for sale by owners are free. I can just go on Zillow and pull that information, their phone number. And then yeah, expires. I mean, I just $15 a month and I have a White Pages online subscription. I get their phone number and, make the call, just pull it every day and make the call. And, I just closed one on Friday and just went on under contract on one last week. So yeah, we could walk through it. You're putting me on the spot. I don't have my notes in front of me. I shouldn't need them, but we can.
Well,
we can
no. I guess what I'm saying is they can be difficult phone calls because these are either, whether it's an expired or a canceled or a for sale by owner, these are all people that are either choosing actively not to work with a realtor or who I've worked with a realtor and didn't get the result they desired. So these can be tricky because you can get people who are not receptive to an agent's phone call, and you're not the only person that is buying those leads as well. Other agents, of course, are buying them and are also calling. So the challenge sometimes is, you know, yeah, you might have the best pitch in the world, but you're the seventh guy to call that person that day, and they might just be like, "Oh, stop calling." And you're like, "I just called for the first time." So they're tricky. I guess the point is they're tricky, but they're working for you. So do you find there's a lot of competition with those calls? Are there agents making those dials alongside you? You know, from other firms?
Yeah, absolutely. And I just to challenge you on they're tricky. They're difficult conversations, but they're not that bad. They're not as bad as everyone says awesome. They are. If you have the correct framework, and we can walk through it. If you want to run through the for sale by owner script, let's do it. And I can
we
explain.
I would love absolutely. To.
All right. Don't give me an objection. Give me even my cousin's an agent. Okay.
Okay.
And I can kind of, you know, I might not be perfect on this because
sure.
We'll see. But, all right. So I'll ring and then you answer the phone.
Got it.
Ring, ring. Hey, this is Mark Plush. I'm a local realtor here in Northwest Indiana. I was calling about the property for sale over on Main Street.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, I see that you're selling by owner. I completely respect that. You know, I was just curious, if 30 days were to go by and the home doesn't sell for some reason, at that point in time, would you be open to interviewing listing agents?
Well, maybe, but I already have someone in my family that would do it for me.
Yeah, no, I completely understand. And listen, I hope my family and friends would say the exact same thing and show me that loyalty. So, you know, I can definitely appreciate that. You know, I'm just looking at the pictures on the listing on Zillow. Looks like a beautiful home. You know, I'm just curious, why are you even considering moving in the first place?
Oh, we're retiring and moving to another part of the country.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Hopefully somewhere warmer than where we're at right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, I understand you have another agent in mind, and you're probably going to go that route. But would it be helpful if I shot over my resume, and that way you could just have it on file, you know, just in the case that you decide to go another route or get a second opinion? Would you be opposed to that?
No. Yeah. Feel free to send it over.
Okay, great. Well, yeah, I'll get your email address, and then I'll send that information over. You know what I can do, you know, I'm always in the area. Would you be opposed to me popping by one day this week just so I can take a look at the property, kind of get an understanding of a little bit more understanding of your situation, and, you know, maybe that can cross-reference my buyer list that I have and see if there's someone that I think might be a good fit. Is that something you'd be opposed to if I just pop by quick one day this week?
Sure, I guess that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said, what I can do when I'm there is I'll bring my for sale by owner backup plan. I can walk you through that process. Feel free to steal any of my tips and tricks. We have, you know, a built-in marketing system and a pricing strategy that we use to sell all of our listings quicker than the market average. Like I said, feel free to steal any of that information you want, but at least this way you're armed going forward. And can I ask you one more thing really quick?
Sure.
Yeah. Would you be opposed to, you know, me checking in with you after that meeting every few days? And what I'll do is I'll send you tips. I can walk you through what that purchase agreement looks like, you know, negotiable terms. And like I said, you know, after our meeting, and I understand that you have another agent that you might work with, but maybe after our meeting, you know, we have a conversation and see if it makes sense to work together in the future. Is that fair?
Absolutely fair.
Okay. Well, great. Well, and then, yeah, just set the appointment from there.
Yeah, no, that was brilliant, because what Mark did, and from my interpretation, Mark, please correct me if I misjudged it, but Mark led with value. He number one, he didn't try to overcome an objection, right? If somebody's cousin is the realtor, you're not going to say, well, I'm sure I'm better than your cousin. He's not going to say that. Or do you like your cousin or whatever? But the reality of it is he's got that hill to climb. And what he did is said, hey, I get it. Yeah, I would work with my cousin too. Or I hope my cousin would work with me. And I'd also like to give you a second opinion. And I have some ideas. Can I swing by and just kind of take a quick look, get a better sense of the property? Even if you don't use me, you can still take some of the ideas. I might be able to help you sell the home a little faster. Maybe we'll work together in the future, maybe not even on this transaction, but I'm going to follow up with you. Like, what he said was brilliant, because it made it very difficult for me to say no, because it was like he was giving me things. He was just saying, hey, can I give this to you? Can I give this to you? Can I give this to you? All things to help me with my stated objective, which is get the home sold, right? So whether or not, and I'm going to always, as a consumer, I'm going to always choose anyone in my life as a service provider who provides the most value. I'm just always going to do that. I mean, yes, if my sister was a realtor, I'd always go with my sister. Outside of that situation, she's not a realtor, but outside of that situation, I'm going with whoever provides value. So is that my understanding? You're leading with like education and value?
Yeah, not trying to handle objections was the big thing you said. I'm not gonna convince someone to list their home with me over the phone 9 times out of 10. But what I need to do is get in front of them in person, set that appointment, so that you can kind of build on that, and you're almost qualifying that appointment just like you would with a buyer. So you start trying to get that email address, you can even take it as far as like DJ when I said, you know, I'm calling about the home for sale on Main Street. If DJ are like, yeah, yeah, what do you need? How can I help you? If they're like bubbly and I feel that in their personality, I'll even change my script and say, yeah, no, I'm sure you've been, I'm sure you've been having phone calls from every agent in Lake County all morning long. So, you know, I apologize on behalf of all of us, but
and that's a great thing to say. I love that, by the way. I use a version of that when I recruit realtors. So I recruit realtors for our firm. And what happens is when somebody passes their real estate exam in Illinois, the testing center sells that information to every brokerage in town. So it's very similar to for sale by owner leads. So all of a sudden, all these brokerages who are looking to hire realtors, we all get the same list at the same time. And so I say, hey, you're probably very popular right now. You're probably getting a lot of calls, probably more than you want. I apologize for that. And you know, and then you just kind of go from there. So you're acknowledging their reality, which is great because there's a lot of agents that just want to steamroll over, try to get the sale, and you're sort of acknowledging the current situation and still trying to add value.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And it's the same thing, like you have that natural built-in sales reactance, right? As soon as your phone rings and I say I'm a realtor, you're like, you're in that fight or flight mode. You're like, sure. Hang up. You're going to yell at me, but if you can nip that in the bud right away, and it's the analogy that I always heard that I love, like imagine walking on the second you step foot on a car lot, you're getting approached by a used car salesman, which, okay. And your natural resistance is like, they're saying, you know, can I help you with anything? And your natural thing to say is no. Well, then 10 minutes later you find the car you want. And then now you need to go approach that person to get the keys, right? Like it's just their mentality, which I get. And we're all wired that way. So if you can approach the conversation, like you said, leading with value, being nice is monumentally important. When you mentioned me having going up against other agents on these phone calls, yeah, they're, you know, it's probably not as bad here as it is in Chicago, where you have 50,000 agents in Cook County alone, probably.
Yeah, we
have about 3,000. So we have 3,000. So I think there's about 10 on average to call for sale by owners in my market. You know, I don't want to sound arrogant, but I'm told this by the sellers, you know, more often than not, they're choosing me. And it's simply because I approach the whole conversation differently than how they are. And they're trying to overcome objections over the phone, telling them their price too high, telling them they'll never sell on their own. They'll net more money. Listen, I believe that, but I'm not going to, in the initial phone call, I'm not going to bring that up and walk them through that conversation. It doesn't make sense. So
here's why you failed, Mr. Seller. You're not going to do that. Fail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what you did wrong. And you know, maybe there's a certain percentage of people that respond well to that, but it is a tiny percentage that respond well to, hey, I can help you. Here's all the things you did wrong. You know what they did wrong, because obviously you're an agent and you know, they priced it too high in most 99% of the case. But what Mark's doing is saying, hey, I need to come and take a look at this. And then he's basically doing what consultants do. Let me come take a look, see what the situation is, and I'll come back to you with some ideas. And feel free to take them or not. I just want to try to earn your business going forward. So it's a really brilliant strategy, because again, it makes it very hard to say no to, because Mark's not asking for anything. The only thing you were asking for is, can I come by? And is it okay if I follow up and send you some stuff? Like, who would say, you know, if anyone says no to that, I guess you just move on and make another call. But it's a pretty hard thing to say no to.
Yeah, and I'll find 7 or 8 out of 10 are saying yes, and I'm not getting pushback. As long as they're giving me that opening in the beginning, I'm setting an appointment quite regularly. And even like you mentioned, they might not hire me in that particular instance, but there was 2021, it was probably around the first time I was calling for sale by owners. And I had a conversation with a lady named Julie, who was a for sale by owner in a town a few towns over. I called Julie every week for 5 weeks. She gave me that opening. I never set the appointment, but I was just offering value. Like, hey, I didn't trash her pictures too bad, but they were taken with a cell phone. I'm like, here's the contact info for the photographer we use to do professional photography and video walkthroughs that we use for every one of our listings. Just trying to give her tips and advice on how to sell the home on her own. She ended up selling on her own. Okay. Shoot. I missed out on that sale. Early 2023, I'm sitting on my couch and I get a phone call late at night, and it's Julie. She said, hey, I don't know if you remember me. We talked, you know, 2 years ago, but I saved you in my phone. My in-laws are getting ready to sell a property in the same town that she was in. It was a $500,000 property.
Amazing.
Sitting at the listing appointment, she pulls out her phone. She's like, you remember I told you, like, I saved you in my phone? She just saved me on her phone as a realtor nice guy. That was it. I don't even think, I think my name was Mark Realtor Nice Guy. So, I mean, just because you don't get the sale that first time, but you're having conversations, you're talking to people, and it leads to business. So, yeah, if I could just say one thing, don't be scared to have, like, just go out there, have conversations. It's never gonna be a bad thing.
Yeah, and even if the person is rude or hangs up on you, well, it's not personal. It's just that you were the ninth person to call them if it's an expired, and it happens. And, you know, you say, okay, well, maybe I'll try again, you know, in a few days, or I'll just move on to the next call. But 70 to 80% of the time, they're like, yeah, come on by and send me some info. I mean, that's incredible, incredible results. So we've been hearing for years, FSBOs are dead, expireds are dead, canceled listings are dead. No, they're not. You just have to take a different approach. And why is Mark doing all of this? Because he wants to protect his nights and weekends, right? This is really he wants to do listings. He's got four kids. He wants to be there. And he's not, you know, maybe you're doing an open house here and there, obviously. That's a great, great thing. But he wants listings. He doesn't want to drive buyers around on nights and weekends. Makes sense. And so he just reverse engineered it and figured out a way to make it work. And guys, this is such, I love talking to people like this, because everyone, you know, so many agents get into this industry because they just want to do like what they see maybe on television, you know, these just luxury buyers or luxury sellers, and all of that's great. And obviously there's agents for that as well. But there are so many other ways to build a repeatable and sustainable business. And often it's by doing the activities that other agents won't do. And so when you see that for rent sign, as Mark said at the beginning, you know, written in, you know, from a Home Depot for rent sign with somebody's, you know, a handwritten phone number on it, that's probably a sign that it's a mom and pop who own that building. It's probably not a big management company, or else maybe have a different type of sign. Or if he sees it online on, you know, Craigslist or Zillow or apartments.com, you know, somebody clearly it's not an agent posting a rental. That's a great phone call for Mark, because he's going to call and say, hey, I'd love to chat with the owner. Are you the owner? And brilliant, brilliant stuff. And again, you know, you're having conversations about real estate. You're talking to people that have not even yet sometimes raised their hand, right? Now, for expireds, FSBOs, obviously those are people that are obviously in the market at the time. But I love the for rent by owners is kind of the forgotten group in real estate for leads. You could also help them on the rental side if they're not ready to sell as well. And you could just start developing the relationship there. Say, hey, I can help you find tenants for you. And, you know, do you have any other properties? You know, do you do other stuff? Are you an investor in other ways? What's your long-term strategy with this property? Do you want to sell it at some point? Well, let's start talking about it. I can run some numbers for you. I mean, these are ways in. And Mark, I could not be more impressed with your ability to sort of do these. What do you sort of see going forward? Do you see anything trending that's changing your business at all? Like, you know, is there still a lot of opportunity for investment? You said you're not working with as many investors now because you want to switch over to listings. How is that transition going from investors to listings?
Yeah, that's a great question. The market dictates so much of that, in my opinion. And there's a little thing, you know, the commission lawsuit that's going on that kind of plays in.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah. So, I mean, knowing the market, knowing where we're going, if you work with investors right now, you know, with the interest rates being the way they are, I mean, there's cash buyers out there, right? But usually those properties are pretty distressed. But if you're finding something on the market, we're kind of in this weird place where inventory is super low, but with the interest rates, you know, certain homes are overpriced, sit for a while. So yeah, I mean, if there's an investor out there that's going to need a loan and you can negotiate a credit to buy down that rate, that makes a lot of sense. But for me, I'm letting the market dictate my actions. So I'm going deeper in listings. So that's why the probate thing is I'm being very intentional about and trying to grow that as much as I am, because the unfortunate reality is, I mean, the baby boomer generation is gigantic. Those people pass away and they typically have a home to sell. So just leading with that thought that there's inventory out there that's going to be hitting the market. And if I can create that relationship with an attorney and have the first shot at getting those listings, I mean, that's got to be up there for people, I think. And it is obviously for me. I'm relying heavily. I mean, this is going into year four for me. The whole intent of this business was to just be professional, be an advisor. In the sense that I do such a good job, or my goal is to do such a good job, that I'm getting referrals and repeat business out of my clients. And that's what the business has evolved to. So doubling down on that, making sure I'm staying in front of my SOI with postcards, events, sending the clients that close transactions earlier in their settlement statements so that they can be prepared for their taxes, like little things like that, to stay in front of my clients all the time, my past clients, and just asking for referrals. Like not again, you brought it up with the for sale by owner and the expired. Those are things that a lot of agents shy away from. They're the difficult things. But to me, that's where the success can be found. So doubling down on things like that, doing the difficult things that people don't want to do, that agents don't want to do, that's been monumentally important in my business. And I mean, asking for referrals, it's, you can do all of these things in a way that makes you feel kind of cringy, or you can find out a way where, you know, you're adding value to them. You're just asking for their help, as simple as that. Sometimes, you know, hey, I walked you through this transaction. It went awesome. You left me a 5-star Google review. It would be so helpful for my business and my family if you were to, if you hear about anyone, any friend or family, looking to buy or sell, just share my name. Like simple stuff like that. It's so easy, but people are scared to do it.
You know, they shouldn't be, because I like that you use the word family, because you do have a family and you are a father, and it is important because it is how you provide for your family. And so to be able to say to somebody, hey, I'm so glad you had a great experience with me. And then to add in, you know, if you ever hear anybody talking about real estate needs, I'd be honored if you'd consider passing that information over to me, or passing my information over to them. It really doesn't only just help me, but it really helps support my family as well. I think that is a perfectly acceptable thing to say, and it's true. And I love the idea of saying this is, I mean, I love the honesty of that. I think is absolutely commendable and courageous to use the word family, because what's more important than family, right? Not much. I couldn't agree. Boy, Mark, I could pick your brain for all these little tricks and tips. They're not tricks. I mean, they're authentic strategies. But I could pick your brain for all these little tips for the next several hours. But I think this is actually a great place to wrap up, because you have provided an incredible amount of value. We even did a role-playing session, which was actually really helpful for me, so I can better I'm going to send this to all of, we have about 800 agents. So I'm going to send this to our 800 agents going, hey, here's somebody who is doing what you probably don't want to do because you think it's hard and difficult, especially FSBOs, expireds, and canceled. But here's somebody, and here's the exact way he does it, and give it a shot and see what kind of response you get. Because you're right. Mark said this at the beginning. He said, it's all about your SOI, your sphere of influence. How do we continually add value so that people want to be in our sphere of influence? And, you know, first, how do we get to them, and how do we give them value so that they stay in our orbit for as long as possible? And hopefully, you know, not only do they become clients, but they tell other people, gosh, this guy, Mark, I've never even done a transaction with him, but he sends me all sorts of great information. He's a good guy. I feel like, you know, I should pass some clients over to him. So I could not agree with Mark's strategy more effectively. I couldn't agree with it more. I think it's one of the most effective ways to grow one's business. Lead with value. Love that. And Mark, one other thing I just wanted to say, Mark is somebody who pivots. So Mark said, hey, my actions are dictated by the market. I love that, because here's what Mark's not saying. Oh, it's so hard right now. Inventory's low. The interest rates are high. None of my clients really want to do anything. Mark's like, okay, I'm going to figure out a different way to do it. I'm just going to pivot and go where the action is. And I suspect if everything changes next year, you might pivot again and pivot to more opportunities. Because that's what successful agents do. They pivot. They find opportunities. They make adjustments, and they roll with whatever the market conditions are, because you don't have much control over that anyway. So I love the fact that you're taking back control by finding those opportunities and not just going, well, I guess I have to wait till rates come down before my buyers get off the fence. So really, Mark, this was awesome. I congratulate you on, you know, your 3 to 4 years in the business, crushing it, 32 deals in your first year. That is not an accident. That is not a stroke of good luck. What I was hoping, I was a little worried when I first asked you, because I thought, what if he says, oh, my wife's business has like 1,000 people there, my wife's family's business, and all those people used to be. I was like, oh, well, not everyone's got it. And Mark was like, no, that's not really where I got my business. I actually went out and solved it on my own. I love that.
Contrary to that is actually what happened. I was very vocal with the fact that I made that move and I did not want to work with buyers, and I did not want to – that schedule was so bad. And working late and then going, I lost out on quite a bit of business because of the things I was saying to family members. And so, yeah, I mean, there was quite a few employees at that company that did not use me my first year. So actually funny you bring that up. Yeah, it hurts.
Thank Mark on behalf of our audience. Mark is a younger broker who is just really crushing it. He's a nice guy, and I'm so glad that you came on our show today. I want everyone to take a look. You know, we talk about specializing, and especially in a geographic area. Mark has done this, and he's built web properties to help people who are thinking about moving to those areas so that he can hopefully be the agent they use. So move to highland.com. He has moved to Valpo as well. We'll put links to those in the show notes, but I wanted you to see what Mark and his team provide. And also, if you are an agent in the Northwest Indiana area, or if you're a dual agent in Indiana and Illinois, and you work in the Northwest Indiana area, and you're looking maybe to see if there's another company or team out there that would be a good fit. Mark and his team, they are growing, obviously, and expanding, and they would love the opportunity to see if you guys could work together. So, Mark, if there are any agents that are looking to maybe see what other firms offer, what's the best way they should reach out?
Yeah, they could just reach out directly to me or our brokerage and just check out brokerworks.com. Andrew Canese is the owner of the brokerage. Super smart guy, didn't start here. I made the jump after meeting Andrew, and I've taken a lot of the information that I shared today from him. So super smart guy, knows the business super well. I love it here. So yeah, and the other thing, if you're an agent and you're in that Chicago market and you know your seller's leaving and coming over here, feel free to give us a call. We'd love to work with you and get some referrals out of there too. So.
Well, as Mark said, there's 46,000 realtors in the Chicagoland area. A lot of them listen to this show. So guys, if you are not familiar or licensed in Northwest Indiana, you're going to want to refer that. You want to refer it to somebody. Might as well be Mark. He's crushing it. He's killing it. And we know his clients think of him as a nice guy. And that's about as good of a compliment. And he's even in someone's trust. So that's pretty impressive. So Mark, thank you so much. I am so grateful for you to come on the show on behalf of the audience. Thanks for your time. On behalf of Mark and myself, to the audience, thank you for continuing to support our show. Please tell a friend, leave us a review, check out our sponsors. Those are the three ways you can help us grow. And also, by the way, we are doing short form video clips every single day of the week, I think. I have to check with my team. I think we are on all the major social platforms, including TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So we are trying to push content out every single day. You don't have to wait just for these episodes. So follow us on social. You can find us. Our website's keepingitrealpod.com. All our social channels you can access from there. Mark, thank you once again. We will see everybody on the next episode.
Thank you, DJ.